Welcome back to Inside Public Accounting. Today in this podcast, we're diving into the most important and perhaps most misunderstood metrics in public accounting. It's the word leverage. And for decades, the staff to partner ratio has been quietly driven with profitability inside CPA firms. But with talent shortages and the offshoring, the automation, the advisory growth, all of these narratives are in play. Many leaders are asking the question, is the traditional leverage model breaking down? My co-host Chelsea Soames is with us. Chelsea, let's start simple. What do we mean by leverage?
Yeah, so at its most basic level, leverage is the number of staff inside the firm per equity partner. It's really a structural metric. It tells you how much production capacity sits under each equity partner. So historically, the wider the base under each partner, the more revenue and profit that partner could generate. But leverage isn't just a staffing number. It's really an operating philosophy. So for decades, public accounting has been built on that pyramid model. There's lots of junior staff at the bottom, fewer managers, and a small group of equity partners at the top.
And this is such a talented conversation. You're very good at Inside Public Accounting, at drilling down into key metrics. We did a wonderful episode recently on revenue per full-time employee and the significance of that one. So here, you're challenging operating models and business models, which again is a really current conversation. So that pyramid, traditionally, that wasn't accidental. That was an economic thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Because in its simplified form, profitability in a CPA firm is driven by two core levers. Leverage, so how many people produce revenue under each equity partner, right, and then the billing rates, so what you charge for that production. If you increase either one, the profits per partner increases. If both stall, then margin starts to compress.
Okay, so this is a pertinent conversation because when you talk to accounting firms, they're all looking for growth, double-digit growth. They want to get bigger. They want to scale. So walk us through how that model traditionally worked, and then we'll get to where we are now.
So historically, firms hired heavily at that entry level, the bottom of the pyramid. So first-year staff performed a large portion of that billable work. The managers reviewed it, and then the partners oversaw the client relationships and the final sign-offs. So that structure really allowed firms to drive high utilization, they maintained strong realization, and they scaled their revenue without dramatically increasing their partner headcount. The math was straightforward. If a partner oversees five or six staff members billing 1,500 hours each month at strong, healthy billing rates, partner income grows. But that model assumed some things, that there was a steady pipeline of entry-level talent.
Ooh, yeah.
That turnover was manageable. And it also assumed consistent bill rate increases. So those assumptions are really being tested today.
And so many things have been tested in accounting. It's been done the way it's been done for thousands of years, but we're getting such disruption at the moment. So what is this data telling us then?
Across all IPA firms, the average leverage or staff to equity partner ratio is 11.8 to 1. But that average is very significantly by size. In those largest firms, those above 150 million, a leverage climbs to 16 staff per equity partner. In the mid-sized firms, 20 to 30 million, it's 13.6. And in the smallest firms, those below 5 million, it drops to 7.7 staff per equity partner. So the operating model looks very different depending on where you sit in the revenue spectrum. Larger firms are built for scale and smaller firms are structurally a little bit flatter.
So in asking the dumb question, is a higher ratio or a lower ratio a good thing? I guess it varies.
It varies. Higher ratios typically lead to higher profits because the drivers of profits are leverage and billing rates. But smaller firms are able to be more agile and operate more successfully under a flatter model.
That makes sense. So when we look at the bottom of the pyramid, we do talk a lot about the talent pipeline. This temporary hiring issue, is that what's going on here? Or is there a more structural shift in the economics of a firm?
So across the revenue bands, we've seen some structural pressures on leverage. Firms are struggling to hire and retain those entry-level staff.
Yeah.
At the same time, some firms are slowing their partner admissions. So this changes the ratio really from both sides. And certain mid-tier bands, especially, we're seeing flatter organizations, fewer junior staff relative to the partners than we would have historically expected. But here's what's important about that. If leverage declines, billing rates have to rise in order to preserve that margin.
Yeah.
You can't allow both your leverage and pricing discipline to weaken at the same time. That's when partner income begins to compress.
We know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store.
So this really appeals to me as a former mathematics teacher. That's what I taught high school math. This isn't theoretical, is it? We're talking about the math of margin.
It's very real margin math, and it's simple equations.
So let's anchor this really clearly. You've said on this show before that profitability in public accounting really comes down to two drivers, and we're nailing it down here. So bring this out in its simplest form for us.
Yeah. So partner profits is production capacity and pricing discipline. Production capacity is the leverage. How many billable hours sit under each partner? Pricing discipline is your billing rates and your realization. So if leverage falls from five staff per partner to four, and billing rates don't increase proportionally, profitability declines. So here's like a simple example. Five staff bill $300,000 in revenue. That's $1.5 million under one partner. If that drops to four staff without any rate increases, you're now at $1.2 million. So unless those billing rates rise meaningfully, that gap comes directly out of the margins.
And you're an advocate for transparency in firms, but we don't hear them talking about this very much, do we?
No, many firms are reacting tactically. They're frustrated about their hiring. They're concerned about salary increases, but fewer firms are stepping back and really asking, what is our deliberate leverage strategy and what is our deliberate pricing strategy? Because those two decisions really determine the long-term economics at the firm.
And price is such a sensitive subject in accounting firms, the whole pricing methodology and the different ways of going about it. I know people that have made careers out of coaching accountants how to price. So we've simplified. Let's make things a little bit more complex. Offshoring and automation, they're reshaping this, aren't they?
Yeah. And we've talked about this in several past episodes. More than 70% of the IPA 100 are now using some form of offshore staffing. So that changes how their leverage is structured. The question becomes, does offshore count as leverage? Does automation increase effective leverage? Yes, but it's different. It's not the traditional domestic pyramid. Some firms are building a barbell method with partners at the top, offshore production at the base, and then fewer layers in the middle. Others are shifting toward advisory-heavy teams with more senior talent and fewer junior roles. So leverage hasn't disappeared. It's just evolving inside of some firms.
So the pyramid model, is that becoming obsolete now?
No, I don't think it's obsolete, but in some firms, it's starting to change. We may be seeing the diamond models with more managers or flatter structures and advisory focused firms, or a hybrid offshore supported pyramids where a corner of the pyramid is taken up by offshore staff. Regardless of the structure, you must intentionally design your leverage model. If you don't, the market is going to design it for you through hiring constraints and your cost pressures.
I've mentioned this on my own show, Kelly Voices, recently, that there are four types of firms emerging these days, and you can't be all four firms. As a quick dynamic, automation, technology can drive the way your firm is going, and it gives you scale. But what that sacrifices is intimacy and relationship with your clients, because it takes you away from them. So firms that claim to be client-focused and client-centered cannot then also really drive automation and technology in a way that marries them both. So let's make this practical, Chelsea, for our audience here. If I'm a managing partner listening, watching this, what should I be asking?
I think there's a couple of questions. What is our current staff to partner ratio? Do you know that? Do you know what it's been historically? Has it changed over the last 5 years? Have our billing rates increased in tandem with any structural changes that might have changed? And are we protecting our margins intentionally, or are we assuming, same as last year, everything is going to hold? Because you can't ignore both your leverage and your pricing at the same time. If the leverage declines and the billing rates stagnate, your profitability is going to decline.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the equation for trust. There's three factors in trust. If trust goes up, the speed of getting things done goes up, and the cost of getting things done goes down. When the trust goes down, the speed of getting things done, it takes a lot longer to get anything done, and it's much more expensive to get anything done. So all of these dynamics are in play here. So what I'm taking away, Chelsea, as a managing partner, as a listener to this, is that leverage isn't necessarily dead. It's just got to be much more strategic, intentional, deliberate. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think the firms that win the next decade are not simply going to work harder. They're going to design their operating models intentionally, balancing that leverage and that pricing and some talent strategy in a cohesive way. I think the days of running on autopilot and just continuing this firm as it was built previously is just not going to hold in this new economy. Yeah. Leverage isn't just the staffing metric. It's really their profitability strategy moving forward.
And there's an acronym, SALE, same as last year, plus 10% sometimes. That becomes the metric. But you're right. You can't do that anymore. You've got to be much more intentional. So there we have it. That is just a great metric, great measurements and things to think about behind leverage. Next week, we're going to dive into another topic, shaping the accounting profession. If this episode was helpful for you, then do share it with your friends, leadership team, partners. We're a growing show and it's really getting some traction in the podcast ecosystem. Subscribe so you don't miss what's coming next. And if there's a metric you'd like us to break down, then Chelsea and her team will have the answers for you.
Thanks for joining us today on the Inside Public Accounting Podcast.